This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Everything changes. You'll be given a joy. A joy will be given. It'll never be taken away. If you're a believer, your sorrow will be replaced with joy. It's a guarantee. And for all eternity. In the meantime, let me ask you this. What are you doing when you're feeling sorrowful? What are you doing when those feelings hit? And I ask this because the world copes with sorrow in a number of destructive ways. They drink or drug themselves up to get away from pain, get away from the hurts and the pains, and oh, this person left me.
So, how do you handle your struggles in this world? Do you lean on the Holy Spirit who is sent to help you? In today's message, Pastor Troy helps you examine your thoughts and actions when you experience trials and tribulations here on earth. Never lose hope. Pray without ceasing. And remember, love never fails. So be encouraged in the Lord and seek Him in the secret place. Remember who you are. You're not of this world anymore. You're just a sojourner passing through. So keep your head up. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 16 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Husbands, stop thinking about yourself so much. Stop thinking about the football game so much. Stop thinking about all these other things that you'd rather do to accomplish something and just listen. And don't fix her. Be there. Say you understand. Let's do this one time, guys. Just one time. All right? Repeat after me. I understand, dear. So just say that. Let's do that. One time. Come on. I'm serious. We got to get it out. There you go. One more. All together on three. One, two, three. I understand, dear. Now, not in a submissive kind of a way, guys. It's not like, I understand, dear. No, no. You need to go, I'm listening and I understand and I feel for you. I feel with you. That's all they want to know. That's enough for them. It wasn't that hard. Get that out, guys. Let's go. All right. So we talked about the fact that confusion can challenge joy. Promises can anchor joy. We get our heart and our mind set on the promises of God. Finally, look at verse 21. Jesus gives a little bit of an explanation here, an example, illustration. It says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. Finally, sorrow can lead to joy. Sorrow can actually become the pathway to joy. And Jesus uses birth as a perfect example. There's lots of hardship. There's lots of pain, suffering to get to that place of joy. This is the promise. This is what it's about. So he uses birth as the illustration of this process. He says it's like having a baby. There are lots of joys along the way to having a child, right? I mean, the baby kicked. Oh, coming up with a name for a baby, spending some time together and talking about the baby. But along the way, there's some pain and discomfort too in the process, right? I mean, there's morning sickness. That's at the beginning stages and, usually carrying the little crackers or something. And it can be kind of miserable for a while. It's like, when is this going to end? Then it ends. Fatigue and the cravings, those things can be out of control. But in the last months, oh, that's where it all starts to, you get, it's like God gives you a break for a while. And then, we're close. All right, things are changing now. And then there can be a misery and a discomfort, especially if you're in the summer. You know, you get the comments, boy, you look like you should have already had, or you haven't twin. You hear all the comments like, thank you very much. I'm going to kill you. You don't understand how I feel right now. And so you get all that at the end, you know, and then it's hard to sleep. I mean, that's an odd shape. No one sleeps on their belly. And so it can be a little uncomfortable. You cry out to the Lord, Jesus, when is this going to be over? And yeah, I want the end. I want the goal, but I want this over with. Can we get done with this? And then you have labor and delivery. Now, Carol Burnett talked to the guys. He said, guys, you don't get this. But if you want to experience it or understand, take your bottom lip and pull it all the way over your head to the backside. He said, and that's kind of what it's like. Well, I don't see anyone doing that. We don't want to go. We don't want that. We don't want pain. Nobody wants pain. Nobody wants to go through pain to get to something else. And yet, no mom I've ever talked to, once the baby is born, has kept telling me all about the pain. They talk about the baby, the joy that is in front of them, the result. Now, it's not the right time to say, hey, you want another? Not time for that just yet. However, they are so focused on this beauty, this baby, this brand new, not defiled or anything yet, that they don't remember even some of the pain right now, because that's not where their focus is. Guys, that's what the Lord is saying eternity is like. This world is like being in a womb. And we're going to be birthed into eternity. See, the mom forgets all about that because nothing compares to the love and joy that fills her heart after the delivery, the sight of the child. What's behind her is nothing compared to what's in front of her. And that's the point. There's a process going on, and it is through some pain and some trial and some separation and everything else. But just keep your eyes on what's coming, the promises. Keep your eyes on the promises. Because sorrow can lead to joy. One of the joys in the process is being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, shortly, in a little while, Jesus would be taken from among them. I mean, it'd be like the point of giving birth. All right, we're in labor, it's happening, and Jesus is crucified, beaten, lifted up, and then he'd be gone. But in a little while after that, they would be filled. They would see him for one. That would restore some joy. And they would be filled by the Holy Spirit. That would restore joy. They say, man, we'll never be the same. However, I think these verses speak of more than that. There's an eternal picture here that he's painting. And I think there are some verses from Paul's heart that really talk about this here. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Even we, it's like we're in the womb and it's time and contraction is painful and it's, when are we going to get out of here? Whatever you may be going through right now, I believe that the Lord, if he could just share his heart in a person, we want to take you and just look in your eyes and go, hey, look, this is just for a little while. Stop focusing on the things that are just for a little while. You're so caught up and all your pains are from the things that are just for a little while. But a little while more, everything changes. You'll be given a joy. A joy will be given to you. It'll never be taken away. If you're a believer, your sorrow will be replaced with joy. It's a guarantee. And for all eternity. In the meantime, let me ask you this. What are you doing when you're feeling sorrowful? What are you doing when those feelings hit? And I ask this because the world copes with sorrow in a number of destructive ways. They drink or drug themselves up to get away from pain, get away from the hurts and the pains, and, oh, this person left me. I remember before, long before I knew Christ, I would turn on, when you're already sad, I don't know why it is, but we like to go listen to sad music. That'll lift me up. I just feel like I have some company in the musician, I guess. But you turn on the sad music, and then, yes, I would turn to the last thing you need to turn to, and that is alcohol. That's a depressant in itself. And so there you are. Woe is me. Oh, why? Well, I don't know where my girlfriend is. I don't know what's going on in the world. It's so temporary. You know, I'm not with that girl, and I thank God for it. My wife is one of the most godly women I've ever known. Sometimes I don't like that. She's just awesome. But most of the time, 99.9%, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I didn't end up with less than God's best, than what God had for me. And God could only give it to me when I became the best for someone else. You can't expect to get much if you're not going to be much.
There's so much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope to see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So we focus on the Lord. We focus on Him. We become, well, guys, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I'm going to say it this way anyway. We want to become too good for someone. I mean, in a godly way. Like, you know what? I don't have time for those kinds of things. I am following the Lord. And then the Lord will bring someone else who, and it's not an arrogance. It's just, I'm pursuing the Lord. I don't have time for all of that worldly stuff. And when that happens, God will bring you the right person. And it fits because they're on the right trajectory with you. You don't have to stop and try to find them. I'm going to take a one-year sabbatical and go online and try to find Mr. Right. It's a Christian site, though. I'm going to the Christian site only. Guys, there's no such thing as a Christian dating site. There's no such thing. You know that many of the people on there know that it's a Christian site and they're going to find some gullible Christian on there, especially the guys. I went to church unsaved to go find a girl. I was in the church, but I wasn't of the church. Now, yes, it can work out, but you would not have wanted me then. You want them when they're following the Lord with all of their heart. And you will not catch that person unless you become that person. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Know that this is just for a little while. Now, people will drug themselves, drink themselves. They will try to get into relationships to try to fulfill themselves, maybe in and out of relationships. They will even entertain themselves to try to get over the feelings of sorrow and whatever. In fact, a study showed that 35% of Americans report that their method of dealing with depression is to watch television. How do you deal with it? I just veg out and watch TV. That is a waste of your life. Now, that is coming from someone who used to watch a lot of television. I knew it was on Thursday night. I knew it was on Tuesday night. Oh, I can't go there because Wednesday night. And so I knew about television. I knew its schedule. I loved it so much. I loved the way that the actors and the storylines made me feel. I said, I want to be an actor. I want to be one of them. I want to influence and I want to encourage people and make them bring them up and stuff. So acting, that was the way to go. I was influenced by it. I invested in it. I was influenced by it. But then one day I was watching it and I was inspired. You know, it was a, you know, kind of a Rocky type show, you know, and we're ding, victory at the end. Woohoo! Wonderful movie. Man, I just want that in my life. And then I realized in an hour and a half, Rocky had it happen. But an hour and a half, I had nothing happen. In fact, over a week with Tuesday night schedule and Wednesday and Thursday schedule, and I want to do piano and I want to learn certain things, but I don't have any time. I'm watching TV. I'm watching stuff. And I realized all this watching TV and movies is taking all of my time. These actors are living the life I want. I mean, it's by script. But if I want to do better, if I want to grow, if I want to learn the piano, I've got to invest in those things, not in TV. And so I was entertaining my life away. So that's not the way to get rid of it. It's like numbing the pain with poison. It'll numb you. But what's going in is doing maybe more harm than good. So here are three things you can do. One, replace your thoughts with His truth. You got thoughts going on in there. That's what's leading to all of this. Replace those. Stop it. And take every thought captive, as the scripture says, and replace them with His truth, these promises. I'm sure that you know what it's like to have thoughts go through your mind that can derail you, that can really start to distract you and cause you to, well, become real down, worried, overwhelmed. Some of the voices are very strong, and we just engage with the voices. We let it take us down. Well, Jesus replaced the disciples' concern over a problem with a promise. See, don't think about what you're worried about. Here's a promise. Did you know that there are at least 7,487 promises in God's word that are there for you to help you get through anything in life? Know them. Look at them. Remember, we said go into your Bible reading with these questions and these concerns in your mind. Number two, so replace your thoughts with His truth. Number two, replace yourself with God. See, when we're feeling sorrowful, when we're starting to really get down and our mind becomes consumed, we are focusing on us. We are, and I don't want to say this in a bad way, but it's the only way I can say it, we are self-absorbed. Most of our energy is focused inward, and so we stay inward. I'm inward, I'm staying inward, and then we compile things. We let that voice preach to us, and here's what happens. Here's the natural digression. We begin to pull away. We begin to close ourselves off. Oh, I know what they'll say. Oh, I know that. Oh, I should be doing better. I know the Lord. I shouldn't be going through this. I don't know. Then we gravitate toward, I'm worthless. And then it's, I don't even know if I'm saved. Am I even saved? Understand this. Going inward will never benefit you. It will never help you. It will always overwhelm you. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we have so much depression. We're always going inward. And then not only are we there, but we're going to go further. And not only that, but worldly psychiatrists, let's go deeper. Let's go into your past and let's try to fix something back there. The Word of God teaches us never go all the way back there. That's not good for you. It's not healthy. It's overwhelming. Yeah, you were bad. Or yeah, that was not good. You can't change it. You can't fix it. It's hopeless back there. Instead, do what I want you to do now. Just do what I have for you to do now. If I want something from the past brought up before you, I will bring it up before you. I'll bring it up. People will come from, I haven't heard from that person in 20 years. All of a sudden they called me. The Lord will do it. You don't do it. You don't have the ability, the energy, the psyche. You don't have it. And so replace yourself with God by putting him on the throne. You know, the best thing that we can do is to go from inward to outward. Replace yourself with him. Get your eyes off of you and the problems and get yourself on eyes onto him and what he wants you to do. I'm not worthy to serve him. That's right. You never were. So let's serve him now because he's asked. Job is a good example. I mean, I don't know many that suffered like Job. Job had everything taken away, his properties, his family killed. Even his own wife came up, curse God and die. Thank you, honey. I understand. That's not the place for that, but it might work even there. It says he fell down and worshiped God. He got perspective. It says, naked I've come into the world, and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't come in with anything. I didn't come in earning anything, privilege for anything. And so if God takes all of it away, I still get to be with the Lord. I'm going to stand before him, and that is enough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He got his eyes onto the Lord. So replace your thoughts with his truth. Replace yourself with God. And third, replace your past with his future. Some of us get stuck in the past. Mentioned it a little bit in the second point, but you can't do anything about what happened in the past, but you can do what God wants you to do as he leads you into the future. Obey him. Trust him. Go with him. First, he can lead you to apologize to someone that you have a hard time with. You can write things. Fathers in particular do this all the time. When they give their life to the Lord and they've been running their home the wrong way, teenagers are out of control, doing whatever they want, whenever they want. The father gets saved and gets some counseling, goes into the Word of God. He finally goes, children, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. The way I have been doing this is all wrong, and I have put you in harm's way. And so here's what I believe God wants us to do it the right way. That's going forward. Now, it doesn't mean going forward is just going to be a nice, clean, pleasant path, like easing like a Sunday morning. It's not going to be that. But it will be the best path. And you have victory on that path. You don't have victory back there. You can never get victory back there. It is what it is. It's done. And so we go forward. We focus on his future. Mostly what God can do is wipe your tears away, give you promises, and help you to walk in those promises. And guys, this is just going to be a little while. What we experience here is just a little while. Can you let go? Can you seek for the promises of God and trust in them? Can you do what he wants you to do? You can. I know you can. Will you?
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Book of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.